I'm excited to share a little bit with you all this morning. I introduced to you all last week a new series that we're going to be starting, and it's going to be a long series. It's going to cover the entire year, all right? And so it's going to be an adventure. We are going to spend the whole year with Jesus, and what I mean by that is every week we are going to preach from the gospel text that we find in the Revised Common Lectionary that we've been following for the last 2 years, and this will complete the three-year cycle. We're in year C. And so every week there are four texts, and we're going to read some of the other ones, but we're going to preach from the gospel text each and every week, and we're going to spend the whole year just immersing ourselves in the story of Jesus. Because like I said last week, the story of Jesus is the most important story that's ever been told, and it's not just an awesome story that happened a long time ago. It's a story that has meaning and power for us today, and it's really not just Jesus' story, it's our story because he's invited us to be a part of it. He's offered that invitation for us to follow, and the Holy Spirit is working in us and through us to carry on the mission of Jesus right now. And so we're going to immerse ourselves in the story of Jesus, and we're going to embody the story of Jesus. So we're going to live into this story and continue it, because in reality, the story is still being written in many ways, right? Because the Holy Spirit is still moving and working in our world, seeking to really bring God's will and God's desire and God's peace, his all-encompassing shalom, right, for the whole world. And we've been invited to be a part of that. And that's exciting, right? And it's a challenge, right? It's a big ask from God for us to join up in this work, but it's a beautiful invitation. And it can give us meaning and purpose in our lives. And so we're going to really dig into it through the whole year. And I'm really excited about it. And so we're going to ease into it each week. We're going to kind of ease into this new series that we're starting. And we're going to be looking mostly at the Gospel of Luke for the whole year, because almost all the texts come from Luke. You could call this the year of Luke. There's a couple of times we're going to jump into John, but mostly every week we'll be in the Gospel of Luke. And so if y'all want to be reading through Luke this year, here soon we're going to share with you the scriptures, and we can share with you a link where you can go online to find them for each week. But I think we're going to learn a lot, and I'm really excited about what we're going to get into. And hopefully, by the end of the year, we're all going to look a little bit different, all right? We're going to grow up some. We're going to age a little bit. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that we are going to look more, hopefully more like Jesus, and that we're going to change, and we're going to allow this story to change us. And so I hope y'all are willing to jump on this with us as we spend the year with Jesus. So my message for today is pretty simple. I imagine it will be a little bit challenging for us. I know it is for me, and I believe it. You know, I believe it with all my heart. And so let's jump into it. My message for today is entitled, "The Beating Heart of the Gospel." The beating heart of the gospel. So the beating heart inside of my chest, and yours as well, it circulates blood, like the lifeblood, throughout our entire body, all the way to the top of our head, to the bottom of my feet. My beating heart sustains me. It enlivens me. It empowers me to do what my body needs to do. And if my heart stops beating, even just for a few moments, my body will quickly die. You know, I am more than just a beating heart. You are more than just a beating heart. But without the beating heart, nothing else really matters all that much. So let's think about the gospel of Jesus Christ, Christianity, what we call our faith. It is multifaceted, it is deep, it is complex, it is immensely beautiful and mysterious, and we will never understand it fully because God is just much too big, right? The writers of the New Testament and theologians throughout the history of Christianity have sought to explain the gospel in so many different ways, from so many different angles, right? And it's beautiful. The New Testament, I would say, I've heard it described as a kaleidoscopic view of Jesus in the gospel. That it's this beautiful array of different ways of looking at what the gospel is and what it can mean for us. However, I believe that the gospel has a beating heart, a life-giving center that enlivens and sustains and empowers us. The gospel is many things, but there is, I believe, a beating heart at the center that cannot be removed. And it must be there, or I think the gospel will lose its power. We're going to read from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. So I'm going to read it for you, and then we'll break it down just a bit. So Jesus returned to Galilee. He had just come out of the wilderness, all right? And so he had been in the wilderness being tempted by Satan in all different ways, and he had come out of the wilderness. And so he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread all throughout the countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This scripture from Luke, in Luke 4, it describes the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. At that time, people believe he was maybe around 30 years old. He was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. When he came up out of the water, y'all probably know the story, the Holy Spirit came down like a dove, rested upon him, filled him up, and a voice from heaven spoke and affirmed that this indeed was God's Son, someone very, very special, called to a great purpose. After his baptism, full of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit led him, drove him out into the wilderness on a vision quest, a spiritual retreat of sorts, where he went out into the wilderness for 40 days and he was tested by Satan. And the text tells us that he resisted all the temptations thrown his way and likely came to a fuller understanding of his mission and who he was and what he was called to do in this world. I imagine Jesus came out of the wilderness focused, ready, empowered, and just on fire for God. He went into Galilee, the region where he grew up, which is in the northern part of Israel near the Sea of Galilee, and he began teaching in the synagogues. And news about him quickly spread because people were seeing something very different and special about this man. So he eventually went back to Nazareth. The place he grew up, the place that raised him, his hometown. I would call Paintlick, Kentucky, my hometown. And so sometimes I go back to the place where I came from, even though I haven't been for quite some time. Jesus went back to the place that raised him. He had become quite popular, which likely excited his friends and family in this small town of Nazareth. And so when he got there, I'm sure they were excited to see him. Sabbath came, and of course his family, a good Jewish family, they went to the synagogue, and so he went with his family and friends on the Sabbath, just like he would have done any other time. The local hero was in town, right? And so, of course, they asked him, "Jesus, you read the scripture for us today, right?" They handed him the scroll of Isaiah. "Please, please, it's your turn, read it for us." And then he took the scroll, they unrolled it, and he found the verses that he wanted to read. This was the place that revealed his heart, his vision, his purpose. And as his followers, this is the place that reveals our heart, our vision, and our purpose. He reads a few verses from Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." In Luke's gospel, Luke sets it up where these are the first words of Jesus' public ministry. The first words he says when he is coming out as the Messiah, "Here I am, here is my ministry." These are clearly important words. Luke wants us to pay attention to this. These words, I believe, reveal Jesus' heart, his mission, and his purpose. This was Jesus' first sermon, perhaps one of the shortest sermons ever preached, but probably, I would say, the most important. This sermon reveals the beating heart of the gospel. The beating heart of the gospel, in my opinion, it's good news for the poor. It's release for the imprisoned. It is sight for the blind. It is freedom for the oppressed. It is jubilee for all. That's what it means, the year of the Lord's favor. It is redistribution of wealth and resources so that everyone has enough. And if you remove the beating heart of the gospel no longer has power. If the gospel is not good news for the poor, it is no gospel. If the gospel is not release for those in bondage, it is no gospel. If the gospel is not fresh vision for those who cannot see, it is not the gospel. If the gospel is not freedom for the oppressed, it is no gospel. If the gospel is not about everyone having enough, it is no gospel. This short sermon by Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, it seems very clear. This is his mission statement. And what happens in the rest of Luke is you see Jesus embody this sermon. A good preacher doesn't just speak words, but embodies the words that they say. Jesus was the best preacher ever to live. Jesus preached these words, but what you see in Luke is that he starts to live it out. And he does all of these things. You see Jesus ministering to the poor. You see Jesus setting people free. You see Jesus caring for the oppressed. He truly practices what he preaches. You know, 3 weeks ago, we talked about the fact that Jesus chose to enter into this world as a poor Jew. Not a Roman citizen, but a poor Jew. Born into a poor family who couldn't even afford to buy a lamb for the ritual sacrifice at Jesus' birth. They had to bring the two doves instead. And what this does is places Jesus among the masses of the people in our world who struggle daily to survive. The very people that this Isaiah text is talking about, the poor, the imprisoned, the blind, the oppressed. Jesus and his family would have struggled to get by. They would have had to fight for survival in a very harsh world. And the fact that Jesus grew up in a poor family, I'm going to keep saying this throughout the year, it should tell us something about God. God came first, chose to come first for the poor, for the broken, for the struggling. He identified fully with the darkest struggles of humanity. He didn't take the side of the oppressor, but he took the side of the ones being oppressed. And if we didn't figure that message out in the first three chapters of Luke, which you should if you read those chapters because it's very clear, then Jesus makes it extremely clear in his first sermon. He gets real specific about God's purpose and God's mission in the world. He said that the Spirit had anointed him to bring good news to the poor, the imprisoned, the blind, and the oppressed. And so I said this a few weeks ago, but I'll say it again. If you're struggling right now, and some of you are, I know you are, know that Jesus came to help you, that the gospel of Jesus is first and foremost for you. That's why Jesus came. That he can enter your life in a profound and powerful way, giving you strength and courage and fortitude to get through really, really hard things. This past week, I heard a guy speaking about this particular passage. And he said that he often struggles with this text because he doesn't really see himself in the passage. He wonders if Jesus was speaking to him or preaching to him because he said, "I'm not poor. I'm not a prisoner. I'm not blind. I'm not experiencing oppression. I have more than enough in my life." And he wondered, where do I fit into Jesus' mission? And you may wonder the same thing. I've wondered that myself. Well, for those of us who have perhaps some respect or privilege or status for those of us who are comfortable and aren't dealing with these harsh realities of poverty or rejection or imprisonment or hopelessness or oppression. Yes, Jesus loves us too, 100%. He wants us to experience joy and oppression as well. But I also believe that a big part of the gospel is Jesus is inviting us to humble ourselves, to make sacrifices and join him in his work to bring this good news to the poor. He is inviting us to join us or join him in his work. I think part of our issue, particularly in America and much of the Western world, is that we've settled for this kind of over-spiritualized Christianity. And this over-spiritualized Christianity often doesn't have a lot of connection to the everyday realities we face in this world. People have tried to spiritualize this passage to an extreme degree where they say, well, he's not really talking about poor people and money. He's talking about the poor in spirit. Not about people in jail who are oppressed. It's all about spiritual oppression and bondage. And those things matter, and they're here. But the reality is, it's not just about spiritual things. The gospel is holistic, I believe. And I believe this kind of over-spiritualized Christianity has proven to be powerless. This over-spiritualized Christianity has become powerless in the face of real-life evil that we've been facing. Particularly recently in our world, this racism and injustice and hunger and poverty and disenfranchisement and addiction and violence. And our faith has been proven in many ways to be powerless because we've made it all about experiencing heaven in the afterlife, when in reality Jesus came to bring heaven to earth in the here and now. You know, we talk a lot at Embrace about being awed to heaven and rooted in earth. And this has been a way for me to think about my life that has transformed things for me. That I'm awed to heaven in praise and worship, right? It's a deeply spiritual thing to be a Christian. But I'm also deeply rooted in earth and the things that we are facing in the here and now. Jesus came to bring heaven on earth in the here and now. The heartbeat of the gospel is good news for the poor. It is release for those in captivity. It is sight for those who cannot see. It is freedom for the oppressed. And it is enough for those who lack. You know, Christians in America right now, and it's been happening for a few decades, are talking a lot about how Christianity is dying in our nation. And many try to explain why that might be happening. First off, I don't believe Christianity is dying. I think it's being reborn, and it's actually a beautiful and needed thing. But also, I don't think Christianity right now is struggling to survive primarily because of all the reasons people throw out, the liberal agenda, lack of prayer in schools, the depraved culture, the video games, the movies, lack of family values, the religious right, the social media. I don't think that's really the issue here. I think a main reason why Christianity is struggling to survive in many, many places, including right here in our own town, is because there ain't no heartbeat. We're not connected to the heartbeat of the gospel. We are not connected to those who hurt, to those who struggle, to those who are suffering under the weight of oppression. And I think we need to ask God to do some Holy Spirit CPR to get our heart pumping again. The Holy Spirit drove Jesus to bring love and mercy and power to broken and hurting people. And I believe the Holy Spirit is wooing us, calling us, inviting us to join the Spirit in the Spirit's work to carry on Jesus' mission in the world today. You know, the Holy Spirit has a mission and the Holy Spirit has a purpose, a reason for existing right now in our current time and place. The Spirit's primary mission is to carry on what Jesus started 2,000 years ago. The Spirit's primary mission is to continue the work of Christ today in our time and place in which we live. And you better believe that the Spirit exists today to bring liberation and life and wholeness to oppressed peoples across our world. And so I think if we want to experience Holy Spirit power, if we want revival, if we want to be revived, then we need to link arms with people who are hurting and broken. We need to link arms with people suffering under the weight of oppression. We need to link arms with people who are fighting for things like equity and freedom and justice. We need to get involved with people in work that's working in partnership with people who have been left out of that sunlight of opportunity, as Dr. King talked about. And when we do this, I believe we can experience revival. And this is a very biblical idea. The prophet Isaiah called people to this. Says, if you can surrender yourselves to God in this way and start to care for those who are suffering, start to pay attention to those who are being pushed down and oppressed, then I will bring revival. There's parts of Scripture that say, where God's like, I'm sick of your worship services. I'm sick of the drums. I'm sick of the cymbals. I want you to get out there and actually start reaching people and actually start caring for people. And I believe when we do that, that it can be a beautiful thing for us, and our spirits can be refreshed, and our communities can be restored, and we can begin to see more and more of God's goodness in our world. Because that is the beating heart of the gospel. It is good news for the poor. That is the center of what Jesus was all about, and therefore, as his followers, we are invited and we are called to make that the center of what we are about as his people. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.